at the same time. And they said that they had unanimous consent to go ahead tomorrow, and I said, well, hell, as I understand it, all it takes is one objection to it on the floor tomorrow morning. And so I said, I just think you ought to get started on this, ma'am, unless you're sure that nobody's going to object. And they said, well, they wouldn't do that, and they just wouldn't get started on them until they're absolutely sure that they've got unanimous consent. And they wouldn't start with them unless they were absolutely sure that they would finish up with them in the one session course of the day. Now the question is, do we want to have somebody object to that going on tomorrow, or do we want just to get it out of the way?
I think get it out of the way, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir, that's the way I feel about it. It is assuming that they're certain that they got unanimous consent.
Yeah. Now, do they say anything about calling Walter or calling Reynolds back?
No, I didn't go into that with them. I wanted to get this one.
They say he's pretty wobbly about that, and Clark's wobbly, and Pell wants to, you see, so
yeah.
I don't know where we're going to get our five votes.
Well, Humphrey swears to me he's going to do this job for us.
Well, when's he going to do it? Where?
Well, he said he'd be back tomorrow night, and if necessary, he'd come back earlier. And they said they won't be able to meet next week anyway.
No, but they'll determine tomorrow who they're going to call, and we'll be confronted with an affair accompli. They'll say, well, we thought you wanted him called, like you did yesterday. They're doing this on our basis of where I wanted it done.
Well, the hell they are.
Well, that's what they said.
It's just a lot of, you know how people are, Mr. President, damn it.
Well, I know this, that I talked to Mansfield yesterday, and I told Mansfield, God damn it, I wasn't going to let Walter Jenkins come up there and testify to him, tell Joe Clark, and tell that and help us. And he said, all right, he would. In 5 minutes, the next thing I heard was Mansfield had talked to him and told him that we wanted Walter to testify.
Oh,
just the opposite.
I can't control the minds of these damn guys. I can't understand the English language. But Sherman Adams refused to appear on Dixon Yates' contract. Now, I got his quotation here, and he says it's because of his official and confidential relationship to the president. And we've got long, damned articles by Brownell and Bill Rogers on upholding confidentiality of communications between an assistant and the president.
Yeah, but all of this happened before he's president.
I know that, Mr. President.
Does that have any weight bearing on it?
Yes, sir. There are weaknesses in this thing, but the question here is one of status. And although it certainly is not clear, I think we've now finally dug up enough so we can make a respectful argument that it is an immunity that flows from the status. For example, they sure wouldn't compel the president to testify, I don't care on what. And the point is that the immunity that applies to the president applies to the president's assistants. Just as I've got a lawyer-client privilege, you know, and it applies to my secretary. Will sustain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not airtight by any means. But we've got a hell of a good argument for it. And I think that if the question never been presented squarely, but if it were presented, I think that's what the courts would hold.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be able to hold the line on this. They're not going to subpoena Walter, but the question is whether they'll make it embarrassing, you know. You know, I don't know. Humphrey surprises me when he says that Clark's a lot closer in line than Pell. Does that sound right to you, sir?
No, it doesn't sound right because Clark told him this morning he thought we ought to do it. Attorney General thinks Walter ought to go do it, and that whole group here, yeah, I think that Walter ought to go testify.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he ought to do it.
Yep.
And I know that Reynolds ought to do it.
Well, I went back to Hubert and said, now, again, and repeated that we're talking about two guys, not just one, talking about Reynolds. And I told him that this guy is a textbook paranoid, and he testified very conservatively and convinced convincingly, but he's been talking around Byron's in a different way, and they put him back on the stand. The guy's going to blow the top and implicate John Fitzgerald Kennedy and everybody he can think of. Hubert says he's been showing around the summary of the Air Force report, and I said, that ain't nothing. You haven't seen that stuff on the
top. Well, you better see when you can get him back to town and when he can do this. Because my guess is they'll agree tomorrow evening before they close who they're going to call and when.
Well, I'm going to get the major right away and warn him against it again.
Yeah, you think he's friendly?
Major?
Yeah.
I know that his heart's in the right place and wants to do the right thing. Trouble is, there's two troubles. One, their judgment differs from our policy. In other words, he doesn't think that we're doing that. We're proceeding sensibly. He thinks that what we ought to do is go up there and make a statement. I mean, that's what he thinks in his heart of hearts. And the other thing is that they get pushed around pretty bad by the press. And there are those two things operating. But I think.
Are you going to meet him tonight?
I'm trying like hell to get him. Tell him they just got out of session. Over there, and I'm calling him back, and I'll meet with him. Any hour, any place.
Are you sure? I thought you had agreed that you all meet and go over the way you're going to handle Young tomorrow.
We did, Mr. President, and just got him on the phone. He just got out of their session, and
well, all I'm making, I'm just saying, have you got him to agree that he would do that?
George talked with him about that, and he agreed to do it. Mm. We haven't agreed on a time. All I can do is keep after him, which I will.
Okay. All right.
What?